We come again to our studies in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we've been dealing with this manner of the manifestation of the man of sin. I would like to read again from verse 7 and read right on down through verse 12. So if you have your Bibles, will you please turn to that? And if you have your notes and outlines which you can use, we'd be glad to have you go ahead and use them. Starting at verse 7 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, we read, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now let me just stop here, because starting in at verse 13, to the end of the book, he takes up some practical exhortation to his people. Now we've been dealing in our past lesson or two concerning the events preceding the coming of the day of the Lord, of how the man of sin, the son of perdition, must be revealed. We've been reading about his blasphemy. He demands worship. We find that the church of Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, is that which holds back the manifestation of the man of sin. As I've said it, and I'm going to repeat it, the man of sin cannot be revealed until the church of Jesus Christ be taken away. It is true that the spirit of Antichrist is here in the earth. It was in the early church, in the early first centuries, where John speaks of it, that the spirit of Antichrist was already at work, deceiving people. That is, keeping people from accepting and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself, especially that he was raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand to be a prince and a savior. But once the church is taken away, then the man of sin is revealed. And he comes with power, as verse 9 says. He comes after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And in verse 8 we have his doom. He's going to be paralyzed by the sudden appearing of the Lord, and he's going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. Now you have this in Revelation chapter 19, in Revelation chapter 20, and I might also add in that connection the book of Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. I've mentioned these verses before, so I will not go into it. Now you have his power in verses 9 to 10. His power is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And I want to repeat what I said. Here is a person energized by Satan. The source of his powers are supernatural. And with power and signs, he appeals to the mind and hearts of men and women for one purpose: to deceive them. Now, I spoke about this in our last lesson, but I do want to emphasize, please, Christian friend, do not jump to the conclusion when you hear of some supernatural power being manifested that this must of necessity be of God. Satan has power. His people have power. His servants have power. I'm talking about Satan. And when Antichrist comes, the personification of sin, he comes with great power. What for? For one purpose: to deceive. This has ever been the purpose of Satan, to deceive men and women. He started with the human race in Genesis chapter 3 when he deceived Adam and Eve. He's been doing it ever since. And even today, there are those who are in the place of authority in ecclesiastical circles who are being deceived I say it. I'm very bold to say that. I've got ground for that. The spirit of Antichrist is evident by the rejection, by the repudiation of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very evident that there are a great many, even preachers today, who openly, blatantly deny the deity of our Lord and his wonderful work of redemption for lost men and women, guaranteed to us by his resurrection and exaltation. Now we follow along now. We've had the one who hinders is Satan. The one who is manifest is the man of sin. The one who hinders is the Spirit of God through the Church of God. In verse 8 we have his doom. He's going to be destroyed, consumed with the brightness of the Lord's coming. You have his power in verses 9 and 10, and deliberately determined to deceive men and women. And now you have in verses 10 to 12 his followers, those who follow the man of sin. Now notice what it says. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. What is the lie? Satan, manifested in the flesh, the beast, claims and demands worship. They were deceived by him, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now mark, please, the two things manifest, first of all, about them. In verse 10, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They're duped by the man of sin, even today, because they received not the love of the truth. They did not believe the truth. They didn't want to be saved. They didn't want the gospel. In fact, for the past 150 years, there has been a decided move by Satan in the destruction and the deceiving of men's minds and hearts concerning the Word of God, concerning the person and work of our Savior. I can't overemphasize this, because we see it all around us, dear people being deceived by satanic forces. Notice, please, allow me to quote from 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the cross is to the Jew a stumbling block, to the wise Gentile, foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 on through. I remember when I became a Christian, began to give my testimony for the Lord. Some of my own friends said to me, Why, Mitchell, you're crazy. You're crazy. How in the world can the death of Jesus, way back 1900 years ago, take away my sin today? Why, it's composite foolishness. And as I said to one afterwards, having seen this verse, I went to him again. I said, listen, you belong to the crowd that perish. He said, I do. You certainly do. I said, the other day you told me that the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through what Christ accomplished on the cross, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You said there was composite foolishness. And the verse says, this is true. You would say that. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. To them that perish, foolishness. And my friend, if you declare that the gospel of Christ is foolishness, it's unbelievable that God could cleanse from sin on what Jesus did 1900 years ago, this is foolishness, it's unreasonable, then my friend, you belong to the crowd that perish. This is what the book says. I'm not sitting in judgment upon you. The Word of God declares, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But if I don't believe, then I belong to those that perish. Now Jesus said something along the same line in John 3:36, when he said, He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. You take a verse like Romans chapter 1, verses 18, verse 28. What does verse 18 say? That men hold down the truth in unrighteousness. It isn't that men have never heard the truth. It is not that men do not know the truth intellectually, but they have spurned the truth, and not only so, but they seek to keep people from hearing the truth. For example, let me take the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul went down to a certain island, and he wanted to bring the gospel message to the man in charge, to the official in charge. Remember, he was withstood by a fellow who was demon-possessed. And the Apostle Paul pronounced judgment upon him that he would be dumb for a season. Why? Because he was hindering the word of God coming to another man. You dig in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Paul meets the fact that the Jews tried to keep him, Paul, from bringing the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles. And likewise today, Satan will use men and women to keep people from hearing the gospel of the grace of God. I must say this very sadly. I have known in my own ministry where parents have come and dragged their children, their young people, out of a meeting, lest they come to know the Savior. My, what a terrible thing. And what a judgment is going to be theirs from the living God, because they kept people from knowing the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. This is satanic. And because they believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, God is going to send them strong delusion, because they love not the truth, that they might be saved. God shall send them strong delusion to believe the lie. You know, there's a verse comes to my mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In verse 3 it says, If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You see, they believe not the truth. They love not the truth that they might be saved. And I again say, my friend, and I say this very, very seriously, please don't in any wise seek to thwart the purpose of God in some other soul. If somebody is hungry for the gospel of Christ, don't you for one moment seek to hinder them coming to know the Savior. I speak to you parents. Don't you hinder your children from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to tell you that if you seek to do this, Satan will deceive you and cause you to believe the lie. That's what you have in Revelation 13, verses 4 and 8. They believe the lie. They worship the beast. Just think of it. And I can't say that name nasty enough. They worship the beast. Think of it. Instead of worshiping the lovely Savior who died to redeem men from sin, they will bow the knee and worship the beast. You see, Mr. Mitchell, that'll never be my experience. I want to tell you, my friend, if you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if the Lord should come for His own today, and you're on the earth, you will bow the knee and worship the beast. You say, I won't do it. Then, my friend, you will lose your life, because the Antichrist is going to slay everyone who will stand up for the Savior in that time when the Antichrist reigns, especially over the Western world. You see, if you continue in error, you do not love the truth. I know today there are a great many doctrines of men. There are a great many movements today. And you begin to throw up your hands and you say, who is right? Who's teaching the truth? Friend, go to your Bible. But they all go to the Bible. It's very simple. What place do they give Jesus Christ in their doctrine? Concerning his person, that he's God manifest in the flesh. Concerning his virgin birth. Concerning the value of his work at the cross. And concerning the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You don't need to know all that these people teach. These are simple questions. It's the incarnate word of God. He was born of a virgin. He died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. He was exalted at God's right hand to be a prince and a savior. Do they measure up to this? Do they give Jesus Christ his rightful place? If they do not, then my friend, the spirit of Antichrist. And Satan will come and deceive. And because people do not have the love of the truth, and because they believe not the truth, God shall send them strong delusion to believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth. Notice in verse 12 their judgment. These are the followers of Antichrist. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And notice, it is not because of unbroken sin that they're judged, but because of their opposition and unbelief in the person and work of Christ. Unrighteousness, sinfulness, is the fruit of believing the lie. Is the fruit of not believing the truth. Is the fruit of not loving the truth. But Mr. Mitchell, I have seen Christians do things I wouldn't do. That may be true. But my friend, if they're loving the Savior, even though they're frail and weak and stumbling and maybe in failure, if they've received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I want to tell you they're saved and will go up with the church when the Lord comes. And you can be a religionist and a moralist and a wonderful person. But if you love not the truth, if you believe not the truth, then you must come under the judgment of God. All that we see today, we talk about the moral corruption today, the lawlessness, the rebellion. And people are saying what's going to come next. What in the world's going to happen now? In the last 2 or 3 years, we've gone down the drain. The whole world, not only our own country, but the whole world is in a turmoil and chaos. But friend, that's just the footage. That's just the result of not believing the truth concerning God's blessed Son. And because they love not the truth, God is going to send them strong delusion to believe the lie. And let me tell you that when Antichrist comes, the world will receive him with open arms. In fact, I would say to you today, though our present generation is fast moving toward the place where they will welcome the man of sin who promises them peace on earth, who promises them a world without war. He makes a great many promises, and he does supernatural things, and he deceives people. He's the arch enemy of Son of God and of God's people. But once Christ takes his church from the earth, what's to hinder him being manifested? The only thing that keeps him from being manifested today is the fact that the church is here, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Take away the church, and my friend, Antichrist will be revealed. And I repeat it, and the world will receive him with open arms. In fact, one of the political leaders of Europe said not too long ago, we would welcome the devil as our savior if he can bring us to a world that is freed from war and distress and chaos. Men are prepared today to accept the man of sin. And the only thing in the world that keeps him from being manifested is the Spirit of God through the Church of God. Oh, listen, am I talking to you, my friend? You've had no place in your heart and mind for the Word of God, for the truth of the Gospel, for the person of Christ. I plead with you in this day of grace. There's not much time left. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're still living in a day when God still is opening up the door for people to come and accept His Son and pass from death unto life. And Jesus is saying to you today, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God grant you'll come to Him today.